Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of consciousness. Who are we becoming? What is our destiny? And what tools do we have available to us to help us evolve? And that is why I'm talking tonight to my very good friend, Marianne Grace, here in Petaluma, California. We're going to talk about geometry, math, consciousness,
alchemy,
and also like kind of bringing it all together to crystallize consciousness in a way, right?
Mm-hmm. I like that.
So first tell me your fascination with numbers and math, and what is it that, what are your interests there?
Okay. Well, you know, they're numbers and geometry. First of all, they are beautiful to consider and to even observe. You know, it's like putting this all together with consciousness, mm-hmm. right? So in order to feel that we are embedded in a coherent cosmos, one of the ways that we do that is that we recognize pattern.
Coherent cosmos mean we're embedded in a universe that's not necessarily random.
Right.
It makes sense. There's laws, and that laws somehow have something to do with us and our consciousness.
Yeah.
Okay.
That everything is working together in some way in some coherent pattern.
Mm.
In a pattern that follows some kinds of lawful...
There's
geometry.
A pattern to the cosmos and to us and our consciousness. This
right.
is what you're saying. And math, numbers represent this.
Well, number, it's not just that they're representing it.
Mm-hmm.
They function. They're part of the functionality of the cosmos, of the structure of the cosmos.
They're like tools of the cosmos?
They're, you know, I think there may be a way that you're kind of thinking of them more as abstractions, whereas
right.
I'm thinking of them as actual literal manifestations.
Manifestations of what?
Of quantity and
quantity.
Of angle and of relationship.
So numbers, right, yeah, quantity, I get.
Yeah, that's obvious.
Okay, I'm not understanding the mystery.
Also a lot about harmonics.
Yes.
A lot about harmonics. Mm-hmm. And how numbers will fit together and, for instance, they'll amplify each other.
Well, give me an example of how numbers fit together and amplify each other.
Okay, really, really simply. If you multiply 2 by itself, you
mm-hmm.
get 4.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 fits into 4 twice. I mean, that's just a really,
mm-hmm.
really simple thing. But if you think of it in terms of music, I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is one that people use a lot. You know, frequencies, tones are harmonic frequencies, and frequencies are particular numbers.
Wait, you lost me at tone. Sorry, I'm not like a musical sort of.
Okay.
A tone, let's say a sound, we make a little sound like a.
Well, no, let's.
No.
Particularly a tone, like a note.
A note.
A
like
note.
An A, B,
yeah,
C.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
So you make one
C,
of those
a, B,
notes.
C, D, E, F, G, you know, whatever. I'm not
okay, you make a note.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, that note is a particular set. It's a number. It's actually a number.
A frequency of what?
It's
a vibration?
Yeah. It's a frequency of the vibration of the air, I think, actually.
So we're hearing, when we hear a note, we're hearing a frequency. Our ears are picking up frequency.
Multiple. Lots and lots of frequencies.
One note, though, is usually one frequency, right?
Well, no, it depends on the instrument that's playing
it.
So, if it's a beautiful frequency, if it's a beautiful note...
What makes something a beautiful note?
That's what I was going to go into.
Okay, okay.
Is usually what's happening is that there are harmonics, which are actually multiplicatively... they make sense. It's like, you know, I don't know if you remember learning in elementary school about when you were learning about dividing and having there be a common denominator.
Yes, I did learn common denominator.
Yes, right. This
yes.
is, you know, this is where the math comes back to us.
Okay.
Thank God this was in elementary school, you know.
Yes.
So when there's a common denominator, you can have lots of different numbers, but the same division of it can happen. So, for
mm-hmm.
instance, you can divide the number 2 into any even number.
Right.
Every
right.
even number will be a harmonic of the number 2.
Oh, okay. It'll have a certain element of that number.
Yes.
Okay, I think I understand harmonics.
Right.
Okay. So when something's a beautiful tone,
those numbers will fit well. So, and in some way, and maybe even there, well, we can get into this, but there may even be overtones that are like slightly off the beaten path, so to speak, but right. That can actually add richness.
So the note is a certain frequency, and then there's harmonics that surround the note that
enrich it. Yeah, and actually flesh it out into reality. They ring at different
that
ways.
Harmonize within the same ratio or frequency of that note, or a slightly different variable of that.
Yeah.
To enrich it, you said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So what I wanted to go towards is like the structure of the universe.
Okay, yes. That's okay. Always interesting.
Yeah, it's always interesting. Or the structure of reality.
Yeah, I want to understand how you understand, because you definitely have an affinity for numbers.
Right.
I mean, I was...
And yeah. I also really like to have it be something that's embodied, so that it can actually be experiential for me now and in my relationships and in everything that I'm doing, everything that I'm conscious of, those numbers are actually functioning in some way.
How do they function?
Okay. So we've established that there are harmonics in sound.
And yes.
That's one way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and space actually has harmonics in it as well.
How's that?
Well, there's lots of different ways that you can find that. I mean, experientially, for instance, if you're in a house,
mm-hmm.
many of us are, we're in a house right now.
Right now, yes. Where's the harmonic?
We're in one room right now,
right.
And we're listening to each other, and our voices sound a certain way. Mm-hmm. If we were to move to another room, which has a slightly different shape,
mm-hmm.
our voices are going to ring just slightly differently.
Okay, I get that.
Because different kinds of harmonics, different frequencies are being able to have the ability to ring at a different rate or scale.
Because of the way the room is structured,
it's holding
the sound differently.
It'll harmonize differently.
Okay,
right.
So that's what you're talking about, the harmonics of space.
Right.
Okay.
Now, there are also harmonics in relationships.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like human relationships.
Oh, God, yes. You know,
okay.
Don't you feel more harmonious with some people than with others?
I definitely do. And it can shift,
right.
You know, it
yeah.
can evolve. But what does that have to do with numbers, the relationship? If
it
does.
It does. It definitely does. And I just thought of a whole other area.
Oh, well,
we
can go there, too. Yeah.
Okay, right. So, harmonics in relationship. Well, obviously, to begin with, fundamental relationships, one-to-one relationships, that's a harmonic of one to two.
Right, because it's one person to
two people. Right.
Okay.
Now,
but that would be the same in all relationships, then. There would not be nothing unique about...
Well, I mean, if you have a child,
yeah, that
then you've got a different harmonic going on there.
Okay.
You've got a one-to-one ratio. You also have a one-to-two ratio,
mm-hmm.
which has to do with the child and the two parents.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a one-to-four, one-to-five ratio, depending mm-hmm. on who your family is.
Well, you know, when I was working with Robert Lawler, the guy who wrote the Sacred Geometry book, he says everything is ratio.
Yeah.
And now explain that.
It's all about relationships. Let's say it's
the connection between the this and the that, the I and the you, the one and the two.
Right.
So how has that changed? If someone's just in a relationship with someone else, how is that different from relationship to relationship? What makes something unique?
Okay. It depends on what is the realm of consideration that's
mm-hmm.
going on in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could be looking at you one-to-one, but I could also be looking at you in the sense of I have constructed projections of who I think you are
mm-hmm.
or who I think I am in this relationship that will shape the harmonic of what I'm doing with you in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You can think of your own consciousness as like a shape of harmonies.
Okay.
And that everything that it's connecting with is its own ray of resonance, let's say,
mm-hmm.
that is that will have different depths of connection, different intensities of that resonance. Mm-hmm. And that they will, it's like I'm trying to describe the shape of consciousness here.
Yeah, it's hard. I know you're...
But I do have an image.
But I do want to know what you got.
I am actually trying to articulate this.
Great. No, I know it's not easy. So
no.
It's okay. It might take us the whole program. Which is okay.
Yeah, that's right. It's a good subject. The shape of consciousness. And it's a moving target. It's, you know, we're liquid crystals. We're not, in fact, that's part of the point is we want to become more fluid in our consciousness and not be stuck in patterns that don't work for us anymore.
Right. So the shape of consciousness.
Right. To be aware of one of the things I've been saying, you know, the idea of there are whole retreats that are devoted to the question of who am I?
Right.
Who am I really?
I hate those retreats. I spent 5 days asking someone, tell me who you are. It is awful.
Well, here's what I think. I think who I am, not a problem. Mm-hmm. Who I am is handled. And who I am is so unfathomable. Mm-hmm. I cannot... It's a ridiculous question for me to ask.
Right, you cannot...
It cannot be answered.
Exactly, it cannot be answered.
However, where I am is definitely something to look at.
Yeah.
I am somewhere.
Right now, in body, somewhere in a location.
Right, and as, you know, having all this experience, you know. Mm-hmm. So where I am is something to study, and how I am... is also something
that's
that
flexible.
I can
how someone is, because what does that mean? How?
Where and how is all.
Where is more concrete than how?
Where is pretty flexible. I mean, where is something that's changing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, depending on what scale you're looking at, can be changing radically. You know, at every moment. So
yeah, I mean, location probably will stay the same, but. Right? I mean...
No, we're spinning through a cosmos. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on what scale you're looking at.
Yeah, if we just look at Earth scale, we're pretty stationary now.
Well, if we're looking at human scale...
Yes.
It's relatively...
Stable.
I mean, here we are sitting in the chairs and probably for the duration of this half hour or however long we're going, we're going to be in these chairs.
Right. So we know where we are.
Right. More or less. But it's actually, if we were really to be honest...
Mm-hmm.
That understanding of where we are, you know, that may be highly limited compared to the reality of where we are.
And also where we are, if we just are stationary, even is a number, it's a coordinate. We can make that into a number if you want to.
Yeah,
so
you
I
can
get
do
what
that.
You're saying
yeah,
about
you
numbers being the shape of existence.
Uh-huh.
But the shape of consciousness,
okay,
I don't
know. All right. So if the universe has structure in it, which I also do believe.
I think it does.
And it's a moving structure. It's a, although there
fluid.
Are... Fluid. Yeah, it's a fluid. It's a liquid crystal.
Liquid.
So, but it's still following laws of, you know, trying to understand certain kinds of relationships that work really well. Certain harmonics ring through everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just such a godsend.
Right.
And, you know, that you can actually... that there are some harmonics that are going to support you no matter what.
What do you mean? Like, give me an example.
Okay. Again, it does have to do with your sense of scale.
That's
but,
fine.
For instance, we, during these lifetimes, mm-hmm. we're human beings on planet Earth. And there is a vertical harmonic. Well, do I want to call it a harmonic? It's a relationship of you to the planet that
mm-hmm.
goes from your center to the center of the planet. That we tend to feel through our sense of vertical.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you could just, you feel it through your sense of gravity.
Right.
And this is a relationship from, may as well be, it's you can think of it as one-to-one, but you can also think of it as like one-to-infinity.
Okay.
Because that scalar relationship, I mean, you know, we're at this scale of little human on the surface of her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she may as well be infinite. The planet.
But if you compare that to the sun or the rest of...
Well, yeah. I mean, you can take you to any... I could even take me to you as from one to infinity.
How's that?
Well, because here I think I know something. There, there's an infinite amount of unknown. Well, it's actually true here, too, in myself. But
it's true there, but it's more true, more unknown with the other.
Right. Exactly. And actually, if you can cultivate that sense of one-to-one with yourself, you know, that I'm...
The known to the unknown.
The unknown to the known to the unknown, that even with one's own incarnation, that's quite an awakening.
Would that be a sort of one-to-infinity type ratio?
Even just within your own being.
One to, like the one dot dot infinity.
Yeah.
That's how you represent your own relationship between the... Who you think you are.
Well, no, who you actually are and who you think you are. Right. Or who you're embodying.
The limited to the unlimited aspect of being. I mean, that's one way of saying it. I mean, maybe. I just want to. Who you think you are is the limited and who you actually are is the infinite.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's one way to represent the numbers of consciousness or the.
So one to infinity.
Yes.
Okay. I actually embody that just within myself. Mm-hmm. Now, I also embody one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about it's all ratios, right?
Yes.
Ratios have to do with relationships of this one number to another. Right. So this is also one-to-one. You know, mm-hmm. I'm only my only body. This mm-hmm. is the only one I've got.
Okay.
And I'm the only one here, hopefully. Other things earlier. Some orbs flying around. So
I'm starting to understand the concept that you have the numbers or the scope of consciousness in terms of relationship.
Yeah, so let's just go through one through nine, for
instance. Okay, great.
So, because all whole numbers, mm-hmm. which you can look at the whole universe in a lens of that's only whole numbers.
Whole numbers are one.
The digits. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, etc.
All the way up.
All the way up. Yeah, mm-hmm. those are all whole numbers. You can measure the universe just through whole numbers.
Okay.
It will give you a subset of the universe, but you can, that's one holographic lens.
So how do we measure it? We got
I don't actually want to measure the whole universe.
we have all nine.
Okay, but we can look at any whole number and reduce it through this miracle that's called digital parity.
Tell me about that.
Digital parity is where you add all the digits together and mm-hmm. you come up with a single digit. Any whole number has a harmonic, I'll call it, of a single digit that is one of 1 through 9.
Well, give me an example.
Like the number 17, if you add 1 plus 7 together, is the number 8. So 17, in some way, is a harmonic of the number 8.
Oh.
This is just another holographic lens.
So if the harmonic, we had one harmonic and a 7 harmonic, we'd have an 8 harmonic.
Yeah.
Whatever.
If you have a 17 harmonic.
Yeah
it's...
What does that mean, a 1 harmonic or an 8 harmonic? What is that?
That's where I'm going to go. There's not one answer.
Okay, there doesn't have to be.
Okay, I'm just showing one particular lensing on... probably an infinite number of ways that you can look at
it. But let's take a whole number harmonic. I'm trying to understand that first. So let's talk about that.
Well, let's do 1 through 9.
Okay.
Take it at my assertion right now that any whole number can be reduced to a harmonic that sounds like 1 through 9.
Okay, so let's go.
So let's just look at 1 through 9. So 1 to 1, you know, my relationship to the number 1 is I'm a singularity, supposedly. Sure looks like that. Mm-hmm. I'm my own being. And the universe is a singularity.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is a unit unto itself. It's a coherent unit.
So the singularity of you in relationship to the singularity of the universe is a 1 to 1.
Yes.
Even though you are in the universe, so you're slightly 1 to 2, but maybe not.
No, you see, this is where it can continue on. This is where there's not just one answer.
Right.
There's at least 9 answers.
Okay.
At least 9 answers.
Okay, but I get now what you're saying about the harmonics of, so 1 to 1, you to the universe.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're both singular, or you're a 1, and so here I'm... I recognize you as a singularity.
We're 1 to 1. Me and you in relationship to each other as a one-to-one.
And even just to recognize that there is the reality of singularity, uniqueness, that's pretty profound.
Yes.
That's actually pretty profound.
There is a singularity at all, you're saying.
Yeah. And that actually, I am one.
You are a singularity.
I am one, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to find myself in a universe that I can make sense of. So.
But besides, I mean, I will get back to the other numbers, but I'm just not to get off the point, but besides being, like, interesting, what does that do for us?
Well, let's go there in
okay,
a few minutes.
Okay, let's do the number. Okay.
Yeah, we'll go through the numbers, and then we'll come back to that
okay,
question.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay. So, so you were saying that, you know, that it's, doesn't that feel like you and the universe, doesn't that make it one to two? And I would say, yes, that's true. There's, in fact, the universe, my perception of the universe feels like it's very much other, and that it feels like it's not what I identify as me. I mean, I would like to be able to identify it as
myself.
Well,
you're in the universe, let's say, or the multiverse, or whatever verse we're talking.
I mean, I believe the truth that all is one. But my experience is that I'm here and everything else is there.
Right.
And so it's
but
a relationship of one to two.
Right. The two being you and the universe.
Right, exactly.
The one being singular consciousness.
And two being that there's two of us here.
Two of us meaning you
meaning
and
me. Meaning me and something else.
Something else.
Any something else.
Okay.
Any, so it could be the whole something else.
Right.
Or it could be, you know, anything. Any.
And I guess I'm part of that universe because you're not counting me as a three. It's a two.
Yeah, right.
It's not you. So it's you.
Me and other.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
That's the one to two.
Well, it's one to two. Okay.
Okay, that's interesting.
That's a relationship of two. It's a way that I identify in two-ness.
I like that. That's
okay.
Very Advaita.
So there's another way to think of that we relate to two-ness, which has to do with polarized duality, which we're definitely in a world that functions with polarized duality.
Day and night, male, female, up and down.
Good, like, bad, right, left.
It's all duality.
Exactly.
That is the one to two also?
Well, I just want to address what two-ness is.
Okay,
first.
That's the duality is the two-ness of that we notice in existence.
Right.
Day and night.
And we're functioning inside of dualities all the time. Do I want this? Do I not want this? Do I go to bed now? Or do I not go to bed now?
Well, just left hand, right hand,
right.
Their whole body is
exactly.
Separate into duality.
Absolutely. There's a lot of bilateral dualities. Those are fairly easy to handle. They more or less keep you balanced.
Balanced. You need a duality to be balanced.
Definitely. But then there are a whole bunch of dualities that take us off balance. And those are the ones that have to do with desire, really. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm not one of the people that says we shouldn't have desires.
Right.
I'm not one of those.
But like what?
Anything. Okay, so let's take something that I want.
You
want
to go out with that person. Or
I want to feel good with someone that I don't necessarily feel good with.
Okay.
Let's make it even simpler.
Okay.
Let's see.
Your neighbor or somebody like that.
Even simpler. Not people are complicated.
Okay.
People are really complicated.
You and
let's
your
make
cat.
It even simpler. Or like a cup of coffee.
Okay.
Let's say, good. Cup of coffee is a good example. Cup of coffee just is a cup of coffee. But my relation to it, I can put a dual thing on it.
Okay.
It wakes me up, makes me feel good, but it also makes me a little nervous and crazy.
So you're creating a otherness with the coffee.
Right. Actually, health is a really good subject to do duality with. Is this going to make me feel better or is it not going to make me feel worse?
Okay.
For instance. And that's going to be something that I can have a very interesting relationship with, is things that I desire or that I don't desire. Do I go with that or do I not go with that?
So that's the duality, because you're torn between one or the other.
Right. Or, you know, I'm trying to juggle something
in
there.
Okay.
If I want to have a relationship with those two things, if I want to not be stuck in, oh my God, I've got to have that cup of coffee in the morning. Even though it makes me feel terrible, I've got to have a cup of coffee in the morning. If I want to not be stuck in that pattern, I have to remember the other side of the duality. I have to remember, this doesn't make me feel good. And that I actually do have some resistance to not being able to have the cup of coffee if I want.
And that you have a choice. There's, you know, some people, if they're addicted to their coffee, they don't have a choice. There is no duality there. It's only a singularity.
Right.
They are their coffee, and that's all there is to it.
Exactly. And exactly. So these kinds of dualities can actually take you off center if you don't understand their balance point.
I get it.
And that there is choice in there.
I get it. So that's two-ness.
That's two-ness. And that actually, once you've done that, when you realize that you have choice and you can oscillate between these things, then you've put yourself in relationship to it. And there, now we get three.
What would the three be?
The three is the two dualities with yourself
between
them, oscillating. You come back to center, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you can oscillate between
you're
the two.
You're the thing between the duality. You're this side and that side.
Right.
Okay.
That has
That's
choice
three.
Doing this or that.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
okay.
Another way to look at three, though, is that once you realize that, oh, I'm going in between, I can dance with this dual pair.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go, you know, I'm tired of dancing with this dual pair. I'm just going to look at it from a distance. I know it's there. I understand what that is. Now you've created a triangle. Before, you were kind of in the balance point between the two.
Uh-huh.
But if you get perspective on it,
right,
you've created a triangle.
The triangle that you're outside of?
That you're outside of. You're looking at a dual pair. You see it. You know it's there. In fact, this triangle creates a space that it becomes a lens, a facet of a crystal, which is the crystal is all of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But that facet becomes the perspective that you have on the dual pair, depending on what your perspective
there's
is.
There's this and there's that, and then there's the place of observing the two.
Right.
That creates a sort of triangle or place of in-betweenness, and then you outside of that is the 1-to-3 ratio. And creates,
or 2-to-3. Two to one, it's both 2-to-1 and 2-to-3.
Mm-hmm.
2-to-1 is you in the center. 2-to-3 is you being looking at it from another angle, from not being attached to it.
Right. That
in
gives
any
us
way.
The four anyway, right? Are we talking
well,
about four?
Well, okay. Here's an interesting thing. When I the development of number.
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen, I'm still studying. You know,
no, it's
I'm
fascinating
not,
to structure consciousness
yeah,
in terms of
Yeah, I'm not saying
this.
I have final answers at all.
No,
I'm
what
just
you,
seeing
what?
That this is something that's working my consciousness and I'm enjoying it. And, but one of the things that I've has been revealing itself to me is I'm looking at how numbers propagate, how they develop one out of the next, is that when you have an even number, which is going to have a duality to it, every even number is going to be a harmonic of duality in some way.
Because it's a division of two.
Right. The following number finds its reference by first coming into the center of it.
Mm.
If you have an odd number, which has created a geometric figure that is
triangular.
Well, for instance, three is a triangle is the shape of three. Although also a dual pair with a center on it is the shape of three. But I'm talking about when you finally integrate the center as being part of the whole, where you get a shape that's all on the perimeter.
Yes.
The next number, with an odd number, the next number gets found by drawing a circle around the whole, by finding that relationship in everything. It's not about, because you're already integrated into it. Now you need to find the integration of that relationship that you're studying, like you to a duality, into how does that fit into a larger reality, into a circle that's around something larger.
Okay, give me an example.
Okay, so we went from three. We found three.
I think I got three.
We went from two found ourselves in the center,
mm-hmm.
and now we brought that ourselves out to the perimeter and created the triangle. We have perspective on the duality. Now we draw the circle around it, and that's four items now. You've got three points plus one, which is the whole.
So that's the four.
So now we're into four. So what is four? Four is two dualities. Four is starting to fractalize the number two.
Okay, I get that.
Four is where you can see that each end of a duality also is dual.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
where I can look at health. I'll look at health, and there's there's disease, and there's here's a really good one. There's toxin, and there's medicine. Those are both two ends
mm-hmm.
of one duality.
Right. Okay.
Which has to do with substances and their effect on a being.
Right.
Toxin and medicine. Now, you can look at both of those ends of this duality of toxin and find that there's toxin that can be medicinal and there's toxin that's completely
not good for you. Yes.
Really, I mean,
right.
completely poisonous. And likewise with medicine. There are medicines that if you take too much of them,
mm-hmm.
they become toxic. And there are certain medicines that it doesn't matter, no matter how much you do, it's going to be good for you.
So within that duality, there's minor dualities. Is that what you're saying?
They become fractal.
Right.
It starts to multiply and become fractal.
I get that.
Okay.
Okay,
so now I can be in relationship to the dual pairs
mm-hmm.
of a duality.
But again, what purpose does it serve besides, interesting?
It allows me to map myself in consciousness. If I can find myself, know that, well, there's a lot of different ways that
okay.
you can do this. It's like, let me keep going through
the
development.
All right, keep going.
And I'll answer that at
I
the
do
end.
Want to know.
Do we have a limited amount of time?
No, we will go for till about, 10 o'clock.
Oh, okay. All right, fine. That's good. So the two dualities, that's four.
I'm with you for four.
Okay. If I put myself between those two dualities, that's a fifth point, right? And it's in the center. I'm in relationship to medicine being either good for me or bad for me, or
mm-hmm.
toxin
mm-hmm.
being good for me or bad for me.
Okay, I'm with you. I see the five.
Okay, that's five. Now, I'm in relationship to medicine and a more complex understanding of what medicine and toxin is about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I draw the circle around that,
mm-hmm.
I bring myself to six. I'm looking for the wholeness
mm-hmm.
of the number five, and I bring myself to the number six.
Out being outside the five. Is that with the circle
it has
around
to do
it?
Right. It has to do with the relationship of me relating to two dual pairs in a larger whole.
Okay.
Okay?
I get that.
That's six.
Okay.
Okay. Now,
you're not in the middle of it. You're not relating to when you're in the middle as a five. Isn't that the same thing?
These numbers are liquid crystals themselves. Numbers are not just one thing.
Right.
We think the number five means, a quantity.
Right.
But the number five means the pentagram. The number five means the pentagon.
Mm.
The number five means dual pairs with you in the center. The number five means six minus one.
Mm.
The number five is seven minus two. I mean, all of the they're these holographic, depending on what angle you're looking at them, are actually available to reflect different information to you.
All right. Thank you for that. I'm starting to see how you see it
okay.
a little bit. Okay. So we have five.
Nothing is just one thing.
Right. Okay. I get it.
It's all holographic.
All right, so we have six.
Okay,
now.
So now we have six. Oh, my God, six is a cool number. I love embodying six.
How do you embody six?
This is a really good one. I love this one. Okay.
Tell me how you embody six.
Okay, so we know how we embody five. We've got 5 points. We're the five-star. We get two legs, two arms, and a head.
Yes.
And the head has the number five encoded in it.
And we have five fingers and an extension
of
the
five. Right, we've got lots and lots of five
on us. Right.
Now,
how do we
embody six? Okay, so, you know, the six is two triangles. One is pointing up and one is pointing down. And we think of them, we've heard, and I like this, that one can represent the masculine, and one triangle can represent
pointing up, let's say.
Usually, the masculine, mm-hmm. and the one pointing down is the feminine.
Right.
Now, how does that relate to my embodiment? Okay, so one triangle, I have a point at the top of my body, which is a singularity which is my head,
mm-hmm.
and I also have 2 points at the bottom of my body, which are my feet.
Right, that's
so this is a
triangle.
One triangle that's pointing up.
Right.
Now, in the other direction, on above the waist, mm-hmm. I have 2 points.
With your hands.
With my arms.
Right, right.
The hands. What's the 1 point that's below the waist? Is my genitals.
Right.
Okay.
That's the point pointing down.
That's the point pointing down. Now, the triangle that's the vertical one that goes from my head to my feet, that's one that's receiving information. It's like hungry.
Mm.
It's taking in information. It's learning. It's like taking it all in. It travels. You know, my legs walk. They take me into different areas. And so that triangle of my body, of my embodiment, is all about learning and functioning and kind of the intellect and taking in information. The other triangle is, has my hands and my genitals. It's all about creativity.
Mm-hmm. And receiving.
No, this is the receiving end,
okay.
and this is the creative edge.
Okay.
This is all about these arms. They do everything. They cook. They sew. They dig. Then of course the genitals is all about creation too.
And procreation.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And you being a mother,
right? I would know
about
that.
Experience. Yes,
right.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
And a father has its.
That's
its,
right.
Yes,
always putting it out.
It's
yes.
at the same spot.
Yes.
That's creativity coming.
And that's
out.
The triangle going down.
Down.
Yes.
Now, something that's really interesting about that, which I really like, is that, we have a tall, thin triangle,
mm-hmm.
which is the one from the head to the feet.
Right.
And we have a short, a wide squat, short
yes.
triangle.
Right.
Which is the feminine triangle, the creative edge.
Mm-hmm.
And what I feel from this is that those two things are pulsing.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, it's taking in information and it's putting out information.
Now I know what you mean by embodying the six.
Yes.
Now I can see that.
Right.
And you're actually embodying all those other numbers.
I'm embodying all these numbers.
Okay.
Obviously I embody the number two by being bilateral.
Mm-hmm.
I embody the number three by,
standing.
It's bilateral plus all the interior. There's something else
and
that's going on.
From your feet to your head, Like
right.
It's being,
right. And having three... The physical, the emotional, and the mental, for instance.
Right,
it's,
right. So you buy three, and then you buy
there's lots
four
and lots of threes.
With the feet and the hands and the five with
right.
the points and
right.
six we just went through. And okay, I got you.
Okay, so six is an even number. So to get to the next number, we have to put ourselves back in the center. Seven, what's in the center of this embodiment?
Well, the heart, right?
For instance,
the center
again,
of the being.
It's not just one answer.
Right. So the seven is in the center of the six.
Yeah, seven's in the center of the six. Seven is the one. It's somehow it's a coordinating point that's able to relate to the masculine
mm-hmm.
intake of information
mm-hmm.
and the feminine output. Of information
mm-hmm.
in a way that brings me in relationship to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
So then that you're in the center of the embodiment with the seven. That's
right.
why seven is the mystical number, I think, because it's the embodiment.
Right.
It's the observation of the embodiment, in a
yeah.
sense. It's the the over self of the incarnation.
That's good.
I like that. I would call it that.
That works.
Okay, so.
So, wait a minute. So, seven, then yes. Remember the next step is to integrate myself into the wholeness mm-hmm. of the six. You know, I'm not separate from all these 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the seven becomes the seven-pointed star around which you can draw the circle. And the seven-pointed star has all kinds of properties in it. That's
where's the star, though, actually?
The star, once you get past six and start trying to do 7, 8, 9, those are pretty transcendental numbers. And it's a little bit harder to understand how they're actually embodied.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more like it starts to get on the higher planes. Like 7 would be your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
7 would be 7 is a number. Very interestingly, I mean, like the number, when you divide a circle by 7,
mm-hmm.
You get a 6-digited repeating decimal.
You mean when you divide 360 by 7?
No, when you divide the number 1 by 7.
Oh.
When you divide the number 1 by 7. 1 7, 2 sevens, 3 sevens,
oh.
4 sevens, 5 sevens.
You don't get an even.
No, you get this repeating digit.
I see.
That's the same for each. It's the same for each division. 1 7th, 2 7ths, 3 7ths, 4 7ths, 5 7ths, and 6 7ths. Except for 7 7ths is 1 to 1. 7 7ths is going to be 1 to 1. But all the others are this same repeating digit, which has 6 numbers in it. It's 1.142857. If you start with the number 2 sevenths, it's going to be 285714. Mm-hmm. Those numbers just rotate around.
Interesting. We'll do that. But go ahead.
Uh-huh. Sevenths is going to be 48257. 571. 482571. So it's the same digits. It just kind of keeps rotating
like
around.
Like that, you mean.
142857.
Yeah.
There it is.
1 4 2 8 5 7 1 4. Oh, the
2, 1. 8 5 7.
Oh,
1 4 2 8 5 7 1 4 2 8 5 7.
I just did this in my calculator.
Right.
Here.
It only goes up to that number of digits.
Oh, so that keeps repeating. The 1, the 4,
digit.
The 2, the 8, the 5, the 7.
Right. Now, those happen to be, I don't know if you've ever looked at the Enneagram.
Very basically.
It's very interesting.
Yes.
Because you know, it's a combination of this division of 1 by 7 and the 3, 6, 9. What's missing out of that, of the series of numbers, is the 3, the 6, and the 9.
Yes, the 3, which Tesla said were the most interesting numbers.
Right, and isn't that interesting that if you divide 1 by 7, 3, 6, and 9 is actually missing.
That is interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
What does that mean?
Well, I really like the Enneagram. I have been looking at it. I've been
what
getting
is,
a lot of
yeah,
information.
Yeah, what is the connection to the Enneagram?
Well, okay, well, this is a whole other subject.
All right,
we could do a whole other
let's
hour
do something else
that.
About the Enneagram. All right, let's not go there.
But then,
let's
just,
go back to
just
seven,
very, very
eight,
briefly,
nine.
The numbers 7 and the 3, 6, 9, they do coherently hang together, and they support each other. And I think of number 7, you know, where do we find 7s? You know, we find it in the scale, the octave. We find it in the rainbow. We find it in the 7 days of the week. You know, they used to think that the solar system was only 7 planets, you know,
right.
Things like that. So there is a kind of mapping of the life, mapping of the cosmos. There's been an attempt to use the number 7 to do that. And there is a way that that can be a lens through which you can do that. So it has something to do with my place in life.
Okay.
A little bit more.
It still has that mystical awareness.
Definitely. Definitely.
7 days of the week, 7 seems to be showing up in all the strangest places.
It has something to do with wholeness, how wholeness manufactures itself through some kind of cycle of 7 steps.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
7, it keeps coming back to 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a rhythm in it. You can feel it.
If there were 8 days a week, we'd be a whole other creature.
It would be completely different.
Okay, but get to
okay,
eight.
Okay, so we'll get to eight. So remember, in my theory, my number theory that I'm enjoying playing with, I'm not saying it's the only thing, but
no, but I think it's very interesting because obviously it does something to structure your thought.
Yeah. I'm finding it really helpful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we were trying to, with the number seven, we're seeing a wholeness. You know, we're seeing ourselves in relationship to the whole in some way. One to six, 1 + 6 = 7, ourselves in relationship to the whole. You draw a circle around that, mm-hmm. which is, how is that related to an even larger whole? Mm. How is whatever this wholeness, how is a single octave related to all of music, for instance?
Okay.
How is the bandwidth of light, which we think of as just seven colors, you know, how is the bandwidth of visual light mm-hmm. related to all of light, for
okay.
instance? Okay, so that would be, I'm now looking at the number eight.
Okay.
Okay, that's pretty transcendental to the way that I just put it. I'm trying to relate something that feels complete unto itself in relationship to a larger whole.
Mm.
That's really big.
I mean, seven is complete unto itself in that
seven
sense.
Is complete unto
and
yourself.
You're looking at that reflection of that completion, the ratio of the completion to the one, in a sense. So that gives us the eight.
Ratio is a difficult number. A ratio, yeah, that probably works. I haven't thought
the
of it
one
with
to
those
the seven.
Terms. Yeah, but
it's the eight.
Yeah, the seven. The seven. What's the relationship of seven to the larger whole?
To the one. The singularity.
Yeah, you could put to the one. Yes.
Or
that's
the
good.
Smaller whole. The,
well,
the individual.
No, we're well.
Oh no, the larger.
With
whole.
Eight, I'm going to go to nine, and then I'll bring it back to the self.
Okay.
Okay. So, so what is eight? I mean, wow! I've really fractalized two now.
Mm-hmm.
It's two times. It's two cubed. Two times two times two.
Mm-hmm.
So each of those four duality, each of those two duality pairs, which was 4 points,
mm-hmm.
have now each gotten their own dual pairs,
mm-hmm.
and that's like really way more complex. There's a whole
mm-hmm.
lot more navigating you can go through
mm-hmm.
in, you know, toxin and medicine, let's say. Let's take one end of the toxin, the negative toxin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's negative toxin and there's positive toxin, right? That's in the four dual
mm-hmm,
pair.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to look at one end of that, let's look at the positive toxin.
Mm-hmm.
There can be more negative or more positive of that positive toxin,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
for instance. So it can get much more complexified.
Okay, I'm with you.
But that's just one way to look at it, you know. There's not just one way.
So what would the nine be? Because then everything else is a repetition of the first nine
right.
digits. So.
Okay, so, well, eight is relating me to something that's way more complex, way more symmetrical in certain ways, too, but also way more complex.
Mm-hmm.
And if I put myself in the center of it, nine, nine relates to all the numbers. This is where the Enneagram starts to actually get really helpful.
Mm.
You know, all the other numbers, all the other numbers are just slightly more simple. And nine is the one that when you're in the center, you can relate to all of these numbers and finds a coherency for all of them.
Mm.
Nine is like the Taurus. Nine is the one that can be at the center, and it can also understand how all the other ones fit together, and I'm not separate from all of that.
And it's a completion in a way, too.
It's another completion, yeah.
It's a total completion.
Yeah.
It's the end of the
particular lens, yeah.
Digital completion, because
yeah.
everything then becomes a recapitulation of
right.
those.
Yeah.
So nine brings it all back
right.
in.
Yeah.
So.
I also think of nine as like the pyramid, because, you know, nine is the point of the pyramid. The ninth
mm-hmm.
point is the point of the pyramid,
mm-hmm.
whereas on the base of the pyramid, they're four corners, and they're four central spots on each line. And so there are two squares that are orthogonally, they're related to each other at 45 degrees, right? Mm-hmm. And that I see them as spinning. I mean, this is another way to think of like the Merkaba in a certain way, but based on a octahedron rather than a rather than the star tetrahedron.
Right. But to wrap it up, I mean, we can keep going for a little bit.
So
but
what's
want,
it for? You want yes, to ask me? So ask the question again, Louis.
So, okay, it's great you have these, I would call them internal sort of games, sort of like games with reality. The way you particularly reference numbers in regard to your own awareness, that's great. It's kind of something you play with and have fun with, like a sort of crossword puzzle of consciousness. But
yeah, kind of in a way.
How does that help me or someone else or even you? How does it actually help?
Well, you know, that's a really good question because
it's fun.
I struggle with this in a certain way.
No, it must do something because you spent a lot of time.
Well, I can tell you personally.
Mm-hmm. That's all you can tell me.
I can tell you personally. And I do, in a way, I'm like, I'm not really trying to say, here, you need to learn this.
No, it does something for you, though.
I'm not really saying, I'm not like putting myself as a teacher. I'm more like putting myself as an artist.
Yes.
This is a lens on the whole universe.
Yes.
That is coherent.
Yes.
And I find it to be beautiful. And, you know, for me to be able to be in relationship to life, in a way that I see coherent beauty functioning, that's, at least for me, you know, that works. You know, that's very good. That helps me feel healthy. That helps me feel balanced.
So this,
and there are ways that I can sometimes actually kind of use it as a balancing point with things that where I get out of balance.
But it's a creation of the way for you to describe your consciousness in relationship to form, to dynamic. And the dynamic of numbers, which is everywhere.
Well, and the dynamic of relationship.
Uh-huh.
Because the relationships are all about how I'm allowing myself to be in balance or not. You know, am I, especially with the dualities.
So if you look at a situation and you see how does this relate to a certain number, then it helps you gain more control or awareness of the situation, would you say?
If I find myself out of balance with something, like, you know,
somebody or something.
It can be helpful for me to remember, you know, there's another end of this that I'm not in touch with, that if I could identify, might help me to actually rebalance myself.
So it's like a therapy in a way, a therapeutic
It can
method
be used
for you.
That way. It can, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's more the artistry of it. Actually,
it is an art form, the way you described it.
Yeah.
It's like elegance. It's like you're painting with the defining boundaries of creation.
Right, yeah.
You're moving within that sphere because it's all limited by a certain sort of perspective.
Right.
All of creation.
Right.
We're up, but now you've designed it, so you relate to it.
Well, I'm reading it in a way that is fresh for me, and it's working. And it like makes sense. Something happens where I go, where something wakes up, lights up. It's like, oh. I mean, I hear the Gnostic Gospels, for instance, and I'm like hearing the whole thing through the lens of geometry. Or I hear...
Is this how you basically look at everything through this geometry?
Yeah, pretty much.
So the numbers create a geometry that create the beauty of creation.
Yeah,
you know?
It's almost like I see the dynamic shape of the universe moving through these laws of number and geometry. And it's just beautiful.
It is. I'm getting a sense of that sense that you've created with your consciousness interfacing with creation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, and you know, whether it's helpful to other people or not, it's I can't.
It's your art.
It's my art. I just want to share. That's wow. Exactly it. And if it's helpful,
fantastic.
And if people are just enjoying it, great.
And if they could use it in their life in some way,
fantastic. Right. And if they don't relate to it at all, that's fine. You know, everybody's on their own unique singularity path. Right. And that works in my universe.
That one-to-one universe
right.
That we started
exactly.
With.
We can all fit here. It's a really, really big universe, mm. And it all fits.
Wow. Thank you, Marion Grace.
You're welcome.
Marion Grace, right here in Petaluma. You can go and get a number.
I just said the same thing earlier, too.
A number counseling right here.
Actually, no. If you want to go on my website,
yes,
can I put that out?
Please.
It's called theradiantpoint.com, and there's lots of information. I run the Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group here
in
Petaluma.
And Crop Circle's all geometry relationship.
Right, and I do various groups. And
you have the Crucible.
Right, and I do a talk called Alchemy of the Apocalypse, which is
really
interesting.
We'll do a show. Why don't we do a show about that?
Oh, my God. That's intense. It's
okay.
Very good, though.
The Alchemy of Apocalypse.
How can you be a Apocalypse?
I like that. Okay.
Next time.
Thank you. Mwah. Thank you for being a beautiful host. And Marianne's hosted me here.
Right.
And
Alan's hosting me right now. But.
Right. And we're hosting each other. That's a one-to-one-to-one-to-two thing
there you
right
go.
There.
Right.
And you can find, what's your YouTube channel again?
It's Marianne Grace. It's that spelled like Marie and Grace.
Marie with an N, Grace,
right.
On YouTube. I'm Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Thanks for listening tonight. And send me some feedback. NewRealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening.
My backyard with Alan on a camel and my man Bashar. 10 rabbis, a physicist, guru, and a genius. A woman who can teach you how to grow your penis. I'm a romp, the Jay-Z, channeling true love. Oh, reality's boring. We're starting a new one. Hearts popped open. Dalai Lama, rock your soul with my tantric chakras. Now say om with Deepak Chopra. Natasha's so dope. Who needs Oprah? Shaman Steven is high as elves. NSA can't stop my elves. Fairies landed, whole world's dusted. Hugging undercovers but naked in public. Government's bugging but they're so corny. Back to the craft first, starborn orgy. What? It's realities. Changing the news, new realities. God's interviews, new realities. Where do I begin? A left mention. J.J. Hertog, Keys of Enoch. Open up doors, teleport to Montauk. Navy ships disappear for battling. Duncan Cameron starts time traveling. Nassim Harriman, electron spin. Word I am word cell channeling. Paulo, masculine, feminine. Marianne Williamson, tears to triumph. Jade goddesses lift weights with their vaginas. Till there's a tantric holy glow. Jody Sirota's a UFO. From Sedona to D.C., Washington disclose E.T.s. David Icke is like Adam and Eve. Meet me down a caravan of dreams. For Alan Steinfeld's new realities. With cheese, what? It's new realities. Changing the news, new realities. God's interviews, new realities. Where do I begin? A left mention, new realities. Changing the news, new realities. God's interviews, new realities. Where do I begin?